You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? This is Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, I'm back.
Okay.
A lot of excitement here. Okay.
Well, I don't know. I thought Corey was jumping in, but we're very excited.
Okay. Mr. Sussman.
You were missed. You look nice and tan.
I feel nice and tan.
So, you know.
I feel good, man.
Welcome back, sir.
Welcome back, Mr.
Sussman. I walked
Sussman.
In all refreshed a couple hours ago.
It won't take long before they drain you.
Honestly.
It's not going to take long.
It took me about 10 minutes before
there
they said something was wrong. You got to fix it.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
it's good to be
long.
Back.
Glad to have you back in the fold.
What I miss, man? How
you
are
ain't miss,
you?
You ain't miss nothing. You ain't miss nothing. We were sitting here. We was up here chilling. We was talking about everything that was going on in the world of sports, getting ready for the upcoming baseball season.
Now, when you say world of sports, did you leave any sports out?
The Major League Baseball may have been neglected, but that was not my call. Well, that was my call. It was the listeners' call, to be honest with you. The listeners don't want to listen to that.
Okay. Well,
I disagree, but
Matt Modica, man, how are you? You didn't get to talk baseball for a while, but now you can.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely excited. Less than 2 weeks to the NFBC live events kickoff here in New York.
Yeah,
and then Vegas, which I'll be flying out to.
Very so, nice. You know, very, very nice.
Just counting down the days, the hours.
You missed the NFFC in Vegas, right?
I didn't fly out there. I mean, I did it here in New York, and was
right.
Very lucrative.
Yes, it was. Yes, season. It was. Now, NFBC in Vegas, you will be there.
Yes, that'll be my third time in the last 4 years.
Beautiful. Absolutely love it. Also, what's very, very exciting, Corey.
Yo.
Tout Wars draft tomorrow.
Yeah, my Tout Wars draft is tomorrow.
So it's time to start talking baseball.
I'll be all right.
Fantasy exec will be doing suicides at Central Park this afternoon.
I love it. I absolutely love it. We got a lot of baseball to get to. A lot that I missed. A lot that I'm trying to catch up on and trying to understand. And I'm hoping, Matt, Corey, you guys will take me through the motions and catch me up on things I need
I
want to
be like the fantasy exec's Buddy the Elf. Remember when they had the snowball fight
yeah,
at Central
of course.
Park? Just keep slinging them.
I love it. I love it. There's a lot, like I said, we have to catch up on, that I have to catch up on, being away. So, some players that maybe are interest of Corey for tomorrow's draft. Well, you'll be all right, okay?
Yeah, you will figure it out. Yeah, we can talk about some players.
Get back involved with Schwab.
You know what you can do? Can somebody send me a board of the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational? A draft board? Can somebody forward me one of those, please?
Frank has that.
If Frank can do that, I would dance at his wedding.
I look at Jake's labor board.
That's a good thing. That's good, too, Matt.
I know Touch OBP is a little different, yeah. But for the most part, you'll have an idea.
No, that's 15 team league, too, mm-hmm. Right? See, you can't look at a 12-teamer, right?
Nope.
Listen, I'll be cramming. I got a lot of stuff to do. Listen, people, I got a lot of stuff to do. You know what I'm saying? Fantasy executive is just not here for your roto needs. I have needs also, too. And I'm going to get everything done. I'll be ready for Tout Wars. I will not embarrass my people.
We got a lot of roto camp to come over the next 2 hours. We're here to help Corey Parson. Hashtag roto camp. This is Fantasy Sports Today. We're back in the saddle. We're rocking and rolling the next 2 hours here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The victories begin in January. The Fantasy Sports Writers Association named Roto Experts winners of two Prime Fantasy Baseball Awards. Tim McCullough and Scott Angle joined champion fantasy ranker Jake Seeley on the mountaintop, and now their triumphs are yours with the RotoExperts.com 2018 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package. A full squad of high-profile winners such as Michael Florio and Joe Galina, they're here to help you take it all. Enter code FNTSY at checkout and join the Exclusive Edge Winners Club at RotoExperts.com.
We are back on Fantasy Sports Today. Corey Parson, Matt Modica, Greg Sussman here with you. You're not feeling this? Is that what that was?
No, I'm trying to loosen up my body.
Did you watch the Oscars last night?
Didn't catch not one moment of it.
One moment.
I caught the last hour.
You caught the last hour.
Huh. Who was the big winners?
I watched all 4 hours.
I think the best movie didn't even get nominated, so.
Atomic Blonde.
What?
Atomic Blonde.
No, well, that's up there. Atomic Blonde was great.
Maybe 2 years ago.
Blade Runner 2049.
I got a couple of that.
It won awards, yeah. But it didn't get like... It won all these other awards. It was a beautiful display, but it didn't get nominated for Best Picture, which I thought it should have been.
Fair enough. Shape of Water was a big winner, Corey. You probably didn't
see
that.
Shape of Water, no.
Fish Sex, otherwise known as?
Yes, otherwise known as Fish Sex, indeed.
Fish having sex in the movie?
With a human.
Whoa, how the hell does that happen?
Yeah, you got to see the movie.
Well, what kind of freak is this going on?
You gotta, I don't
know what to
tell you.
Doing it to a fish.
Now all of a sudden, the fantasy execs intrigued.
That's all you have to do. Get Out was nominated. And
Jordan Peele win an
Best Screenplay? The same thing that like Affleck and Damon won for like Good Will Hunting.
And who was that girl from Juno? She won it, remember?
Ellen Page? No.
No, the screenplay.
Oh, yes.
You know who I'm talking about.
I do know who you're talking about. Yeah, she won. Exactly. So screenplays for like the up-and-comer, and they give the old grizzly veteran the director award, basically.
Okay.
The way he called the cinematographer from Blade Runner 2049, finally.
Huge ovation for that
guy. Yeah, he deserved that. Yes. I mean, he's made such, like, what was it, the Jesse James movie, which I thought was good, but I mean, the way he shot that made the movie great, like, you know, visually and all that.
Sure.
So, I mean, I think this was his 14th nomination. So he had lost the previous 13.
He earned it. He earned it for sure. It was a lifetime achievement for that guy.
Yes, it was.
So I felt good. I believe he's the oldest Academy Award winner ever.
Well, I shouldn't know.
How about that?
I'm
impressed
that Tom Petty finally got some kind of recognition.
Yeah.
This man was a fantastic singer, songwriter. He passed away, unfortunately. And it kind of went by the wayside, I thought at least. And to see Eddie Vedder doing one of his songs
cool.
In memoriam,
that was cool.
I really appreciated that as a Tom Petty fan.
Yeah, that was cool seeing Eddie Vedder do it. I like Eddie Vedder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eddie's great.
What are your thoughts on Eddie Vedder, Corey?
Oh, I'm a big fan.
He's a big fan of avocados as well.
Oh, there you go.
Eddie Vedder's awesome. all right, let's get into
what did he do?
Eddie Vedder. He just told you what he did.
Oh, sorry. What is he, a singer?
Well, yeah, Pearl Jam lead singer.
He's the lead singer of Pearl Jam.
Oh, okay. I love Pearl Jam.
Can you name a Pearl Jam song?
Pearl Jam. Name a Pearl Jam joint.
Think of the guy that owns a company. What his name is. That was pretty good,
that
right?
That was a really good clue.
That was pretty good.
That was a really good clue.
Don't know.
He was saying Jeremy was the clue. It was just the name of the song.
They had a song called Jeremy?
Yes.
Hmm.
All right. We'll move on. We'll move on to something that you're more into, potentially. Maybe not. Let's talk some baseball, huh? How about that? Let's get into some baseball. And let me start in Boston, where Rafael Devers, popular... I don't want to say sleeper because he's not a sleeper.
Frankie Stanfield's boy,
my boy. Frank and I draft him every draft we kind of have. We're very into it because people think Rafael Devers could be this next great Red Sox in a way.
Oh, he's a future stud, definitely.
Future stud, definitely, says Matt Modica. Popular third base candidate, although there were some question marks. Now, would he play every day with Eddie Nunez in tow? But he's off to a hot start this spring. Rafael Devers climbing up draft boards right now. Matt Modica, where do you feel comfortable drafting Rafael Devers?
I'd probably say like in that eighth roundish. Is where you're probably gonna have to get him. It depends on my construct. If I don't have like a, say if I waited on third base, I don't have a Justin Turner or something like that. I think he's gonna bat at least 280. This kid showed last season he was ready. They waited a bit. He's so young, but the hit tool is there. And it's one of their next players in that pipeline in Boston. I don't see him not getting at bats this year. I think the guy, like you were just mentioning about Eduardo Nunez and
sure.
stuff.
Yeah.
The thing that I keep seeing is Hanley Ramirez. I'm not looking to sidetrack, but just trying to set the picture. Ramirez right now is DH only, whatever, and he's a good value because he goes so late,
sure.
early 20s, whatever. But I don't see him getting those at bats. I don't see Boston putting themselves in that position of allowing that contract to mature and owe him $22 million next year.
You've been saying that all spring long. Devers is currently the 12th third baseman off the board, Corey, according to the NFBC, 114 overall over the last week. Now, Devers is going ahead of these players, who I think you'll also take him ahead of. He's going ahead, just third baseman-wise, Jake Lamb, Eduardo Nunez, who we just mentioned, Kyle Seager, which is interesting, Mike Moustakas, who's still looking for a team, Adrian Beltre, Eugenio Suarez, Evan Longoria. That's not the issue. You're gonna take.
I would take Moustakas ahead of him,
really?
If I knew Moustakas had a job, you know, where he was. I mean, what happens if he decides to wait till May? It's just that I know somebody's gonna sign him somehow, some way. Just he doesn't have a job right now.
Right, Devers. Right now, you're gonna take him ahead of all those guys. I don't think it's a question mark. Now, my question for you, Corey, that's how it works tomorrow. Will you take Devers ahead of any of the guys ahead of him right now? So let me give you some names. You give me your thoughts, and Matt will chime in here as well. Rafael Devers, the guy directly ahead of him in the NFBC, Joey Gallo.
Oh, yikes. It depends on roster construction with that one, what you're looking for. If I need a nice, decent floor for a batting average, I'll go with Devers. If I'm trying to add some pit op, I'm going to go with Joey Gallo. So it depends, right?
Yeah, no, I think Corey made a great point here. I'll take a thing from the Blues Brothers movie.
Right.
They were on a mission from God. And I don't know, like a couple of weeks ago, like the light like shined on me, and I've just been so compelled to draft Gallo. It is a risky proposition because this guy could bat under 200. But also, if he gets the plate appearances or at bats anywhere 600 or so, I think the guy could hit 50 homers and possibly steal you 10 bases. The thing with Devers is, like Corey said, it's that floor. That batting average is going to be there. Look, everybody's hitting 20 home runs. I think 25 is reasonable.
Yep.
Depending upon where he's situated in that lineup will determine the RBI production.
Sure.
I mean, that's, you know, if he's batting sixth, fifth, you know, or if he's further in that lineup, then that would be an issue. But I think, like Corey says, it's about roster construction at that point. The first five rounds are about your foundation. And then you go from there.
All right, let me give you another one then. I'll go to Matt for this one. Rafael Devers or Nick Castellanos?
You know what? Castellanos, I think he might have a next little level. We kind of saw in that second half. The thing with Castellanos that I do like, especially in a deeper league, is he has that third base outfield eligibility.
Sure.
So that does help you there. I think batting average-wise, I give the edge to Devers.
Okay.
But I think in the power department and stuff, they're both going to be pretty similar. For me, it's very close here. You can go either way. Depending upon how I'm looking, if I want that eligibility, maybe I go Castellanos.
Castellanos, remember, former top prospect with the Tigers, had some injury issues in 2016. 2017, played 157 games, hit 26 homers, batted in 272. OBP wasn't great at 320. But yeah, so good year for the Castellanos.
Yeah, and the one thing people are going to say, well, he's on a bad team, nobody's going to pitch to him and stuff. Look, if you are on a bad team, one thing, you're probably going to be behind a lot. So people aren't going to look to walk you. You will be pitched to. So I don't buy that narrative. I know people like to throw that out. I think it's kind of foolish when people say that. I don't think that's the right way to look at it. I mean, long term, between Devers and Castellanos, it would be Devers.
Castellanos got better as the year went along last year, which I think is also very, very interesting. Let me give you one more here. Two more, actually, because I want to get into this player in a little bit, too. Travis Shaw, Corey, was a guy that we were all on last year with the Brewers. We're talking about Eric Thames a lot. And Travis Shaw at third base, I don't want to say come out of nowhere, but the former Red Sox third baseman had a breakout here, certainly in the power department, for Milwaukee. Do you see Travis Shaw repeating that here in 2018?
Yeah, I like Travis Shaw. I like what he can do. Obviously, last year, get you that batting average up there around 270. Drove in over 100 runs. I like the offense in Milwaukee. 30 bombs on this dude, too. And then, plus, when you look at the reason why he's been able to be so successful, he not only is he a guy that can hit the ball out the ballpark, he also gets on base at a good rate, taking walks and stuff like that. So, had an above average batting average on balls in play last year, so it could be a slight dip, and we want to see them strikeouts come under 20%, but I can rock with Travis Shaw.
Yeah, look, I mean, power is going to play.
Do I sound like I'm not ready?
You sound absolutely ready to rock.
The average, you know, may come down a bit, though. That I'm not sold on.
Well, I'll say this. August and September, about a 232, both of those months.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got to be cautious there. But I'm just looking at a board where the guy next to him is Matt Olson.
Right.
Who I don't believe in his average. I believe in his power.
Sure.
So, at least Travis Short, you're getting first base, third base eligibility, and that park, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I like Travis Shaw. I liked him last year. I want pieces of him here this year as well. When we come back after the break, we'll go live on YouTube. We'll start our team of day because there's a lot to talk about when it comes to the Atlanta Braves. There's a lot of youth. There's a lot of excitement. Where does it start? Where does it end? Who do you want on your fantasy baseball teams? We'll get into the Atlanta Braves when we come back. FST on FNTSY.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
YouTube, welcome inside Studio 34 here in Rockin' Riley's in Midtown Manhattan alongside Corey Parson and Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Remember, get your rotoexperts.com exclusive edge fantasy baseball package right now. This year's version is new and improved with more analysis than ever before, including all-day Slack channels, stats, projections, and improved cheat sheet generators. That's right. Get your rankings from the top-ranked analyst in the world, our buddy Jake Seeley, who will be on this program for hour number two, tips from award winner Tim McCullough, and insights from the Hall of Famer, the King, Scott Engel. Enter code FNTSY when you check out and get your Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball package right now. Your promo code is FNTSY. All right, team of day today is the Atlanta Braves. Now, the Bravos.
SunTrust Stadium.
That's right.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, brand new.
Plays good for the left-handed power.
Yes, it does.
Plays very good.
But I'm not ready, though. I'm not ready, though, right? I know this place plays good for left-handed power. I tell you about Devers and Travis Shaw, and you think I'm not ready.
Ready to rock.
Let's do it.
Talk to me, then, about the top prospects for Atlanta.
I don't do prospects.
Well, they play in the majors now.
I don't do prospects.
They're major leaguers now.
Okay, what's his name?
There's a couple of them.
All right, let's talk about
it. One of them is Ozzie Albies.
Oh, yeah, Ozzie Albies been around for a little bit now. People have been talking about the cat, so we'll see if Albies going to get a shot to get some regular playing time this year. I think he's intriguing.
Ozzie Albies, second baseman now for Atlanta, for a top prospect. Him and Dansby Swanson are supposed to be that middle infield for a very, very long time in Atlanta. Now, Dansby Swanson, Ozzie Albies, both come up last year. One, I think, kind of heading one direction, one the other direction. Dansby Swanson wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire. Ozzie Albies showed quite a ton of potential last year. Are you in on the love for Ozzie Albies?
I don't own any Ozzie Albies yet. And I'm not sure if I'm going to. It's not that I don't like the player. He's just, you know, he's gone so high up. He's kind of approaching the top 100. So at that price, I'm not going in right now. You know, if I'm going to pay a top 100 price on like a prospect or a young player, I'd rather do it on Ronald Acuna.
Okay.
But look, Albies has a lot of love. The funny thing, though, is this time last year, it was Dansby Swanson who was the darling, yep. And everybody was like, I got to have him. Luckily, I stayed away from Dansby Swanson last year. Albies, though, the thing with Albies that I think can give him that floor is he's going to steal bases. So he has that speed. He's going to run. He is like 20 years old, and he's done very well at the levels that he played at for a young age. So he's a guy, I get the love. I'm just not paying that price right now.
I'm not paying for Albies either. Like, what's Albies' best attribute?
I think he can help you across the board. I think that's what
he's going to have a nice batting average. He's not going to give you no pop. Is he going to steal 15 bases?
He should probably steal. If he plays every day, he's probably going to steal 20-something.
He's 20 bases. And I think he also has the ability, last year combined in 2017 between the minors and majors, to hit 15 home runs.
I don't know if the power tool is there. Yeah, I would be suspect on that.
A little suspect, at least for now. At least this point in the stage. But then again, like I like to say often, Elvis Andrews hit, 25 homers last year. So pretty much anybody can hit 20 homers.
I would bank on the Swanson dude having a bounce back year more than I would bank on Albies.
I don't agree, because the reason I like Albies...
I didn't ask for your opinion.
I'm giving my opinion anyway. I don't really care.
You've been back here for an hour telling me you disagree.
That's right. You're damn right. See, Ozzie Albies, what I like, and I thought you would like about him too, Corey, he doesn't really strike out. And for a young player...
I do like that.
...to not really strike out is very, very interesting. He's just 21 years old, and in the minors, he really showed no profile of striking out. Only one time, that was last year, did he strike out 20% of the time, and that was literally 20.1%. Came up to the majors, only struck out 14% of the time. I think the walk rate goes up. I think he has the ability to just get on base. Tout Wars an on-base percentage league. We're always looking for steals. He has the ability to certainly steal 20 bases. I think when Elvis Andrews...
You keep telling me about the ability, but ain't nobody showing me. You told me...
He's 21 years old.
In 57 games. Let him do something first.
He will. In 57 games, he stole 8 bases. You double that, he's 16, and that's only 114 games.
How much more bullish are you than the Steamer projection of, say, 12 homers, 21 stolen bases, and a 272 batting average?
I think the average can be higher than 272. I think that's a little low for Steamer. I think the home runs can be a little bit more. I think the stolen bases can be a little bit more. Maybe just a high guy.
I could say 280-ish, 285.
Right.
Like he did last season.
Yes, exactly.
I could buy that.
Yep.
I'll buy more stolen bases. Okay. I'm not so much buying more power.
You don't think you can get 15 to 20 rather than 10 to 15?
It's possible, right, but yeah. I'm not going to bank on that. I think 12 is a fair number.
All right, so Ozzie Albies right now is going 122 overall. Would you rather have him or Ian Happ, Matt?
I'm going to take him because I know he's getting the everyday at-bats.
Right.
So that's why I'm going to go that route. The question I would propose,
please,
would you rather have him or his teammate, Ender Inciarte?
All right, let's talk about Ender Inciarte then. Atlanta Braves, of course. Now, Inciarte, much like his teammate Dansby Swanson, came over in the Arizona deal that brought Shelby Miller to Arizona. Now, Inciarte, another one of these guys that does a little bit of everything. Is it enough for him to be on your fantasy team?
Yeah, no, I would. So look, this is a guy that I really do like. He's going to steal you. It's like Albies, but in the outfield. Mm-hmm. He's going to hit probably hit double-digit home runs, just barely. I'm going to cap him around the 10 to 12 range.
Agreed.
He's not a power hitter.
Career high 11 last year.
But I think he's going to steal 20 to 25 bases. And I think he has a real legitimate shot at batting 300. And if he doesn't bat 300, I think 280 is his floor. Should score a ton of runs. So this is a guy that I like. I like a lot. You probably get him after an Albies.
According to the NFBC, over the last week, Inciarte is going two spots above Ozzie Albies. So they're going right around the same spot, understandably so. Let's talk about the team that I just mentioned, Dansby Swanson. As you said, Corey, last year at this time, everybody's talking about Dansby Swanson.
Yep.
You said it too, Matt. He was like a former number one overall pick with Arizona, and he comes up and he does... Well, nothing. You talk about wanting to see something first in the majors. Dansby Swanson didn't give you that. Last year, batted .232 on the year. Just 6 home runs, 3 stolen bases. He didn't do anything for fantasy purposes.
No, but I see. I think he bounces back this year. I think you get another year in the majors underneath his belt. Then he gets a little bit more comfortable. Stakes a little bit higher, but he's rebounding off of nothing, so I think he is able to put it together. One thing you can say about him, listen, the strikeout rate is just over 20, is just over 21, so that's going to be something that he has to do better when it comes to his plate discipline and making contact. But his batting average on balls in play last year was only .292, so I think we have room for improvement.
See, I just don't, like, the reason I stayed away from him last year, and I'm pretty much staying away this year, he's like a reserve round pick.
Yeah.
If you want him, and that's where I think he's probably going right now.
Dollar make you holler.
Yeah. That's, in that case, this is the truth with Swanson. I don't see what the upside is. I don't see him stealing a ton of bases. I don't see him hitting a ton of home runs. So if he's not batting like .320 or something,
yep,
I'm not getting it. He's going to be a guy that's going to skew to the ground ball side, circa like 50%. He's not going to hit the ball hard enough. He's not hitting the ball in the air to begin with enough. He's not hitting it hard enough. So, like I said, for me, it's kind of empty.
And then you get to the second Brave off the board. If the first is Freddie Freeman, we all love Freddie Freeman, and he's amazing, love, yada, 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 totally. You get to Ronald Acuna. Now, I kind of bounced around here a little bit. I like Ozzy Albies a lot, and yet, over 10 spots later than both Ender and Ciarte and Ozzy Albies is Ronald Acuna. Corey, he is this year's Dansby Swanson. He's this year's Ozzy Albies, right? He's his top.
I think you got to put him. He's more like the next. Not that he's going to be, but he's in that more high profile, like a Trout kind of
okay,
Harper
thing. He's in the upper echelon of all the baseball, not just the Braves.
And it happened within like a year.
Yes,
that's
it did.
How quickly his ascension came.
The upper echelon of all the baseball. He's going just outside the top 100 right now in fantasy baseball leagues. One of these dudes that has not played in the majors yet, not guaranteed to start the year in the majors. Are you in on Ronald Acuna?
20 years old with a very nice skill set for the young man in the outfield. So I think when you see some of the things that he can do, he can be a possible double-double guy. Is that correct?
You think he'd be a...
You mean like homers or steals?
Yeah.
I think with the at-bats, look, this is a possible 2020 guy.
Yeah.
If everything went right. Maybe that first season is an adjustment, but just look at what Steamer's got this kid projected at. A 280 batting average, 13 homers, 20 stolen bases. The average, to me, is the one thing that might be down that first year as he makes the adjustment. The power is real. The speed in the minors, though, look, he's going to run, especially at this age, but the stolen base success rate is not that great, but he's going to run at his age.
Yeah, he is. And the question will he be starting the season? I don't know if that matters so much because once he gets up, he'll be up for good.
It matters for the fact that is he going to get the Chris Bryant treatment?
Sure.
If it's only 2-3 weeks.
Right, then who cares? Right. But if it's June, then it matters,
that's,
obviously.
That's a different story.
That's a different story, yeah.
Especially where he's going.
So Acuna going at 107, are you comfortable taking him there?
I've taken him. Look, I'm going to be aggressive on certain players. I'm not going to take him every time and every draft, but I play in enough drafts and auctions and stuff that I want a piece of him in my portfolio. I want not just one or two. I want to have a Ronald Acuna, you know, little emerging market section.
Understandably so. All right, so rank the order that you'd want those guys in. Acuna, Ozzy Albies, Ender, and Ciarte.
For me, it is Acuna, Ciarte, Albies.
Corey?
Say it again.
Rank those three young players that we talked about, and Ciarte. Ciarte, Ozzy Albies, and Ronald Acuna. How would you rank those three guys in order that you want them?
Ciarte, Acuna, and then Albies.
Okay, so you go with the proven commodity and Ciarte, then the high profile prospect in Acuna, and then Ozzy Albies.
I do like Corey's order. I mean, I'm going to take the
cool
chance
on
be more aggressive with Acuna,
okay.
But that's the smarter way.
Okay.
You know, the way to what you say. You got that track record there.
There you go. All right, we'll take a break here. That's your team of day. Atlanta Braves will do a new one tomorrow. We look forward to that. When we come back, a whole lot more baseball to cover over the next 2 hours. It's FST on FNTSY.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Pharrell.
You like Pharrell?
I'm a Pharrell fan. Man, they played this song. Oh, my God. This song was played to the tape pop.
I'd like to see you come in with one of those hats.
I would rock a Pharrell hat.
Be tough on the subway.
Indiana Jones look. I would rock that look. I'm a fan of that look. I might wear one tomorrow.
I'd like to see it.
For Tout Wars.
Please. But in your apartment while you'll be doing your draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to see you rock the
I might go live. I might go live doing Tout Wars.
I don't think that's a good idea for you.
I might go live.
I don't think that's a good idea for you.
Why not?
You know, I just think there's other ways that you have better draft.
All right, cool. Then I won't go live. I wanted to bring the people in.
Periscope
it. Inside the war room.
Not a great idea.
I got an interesting strategy I'm looking at this year.
Is it called letting Matt Modica draft your team?
No.
I've never.
What are you doing tomorrow night, Matt?
Guess I'm coming up to Harlem.
Corey's not.
I got the Uber.
Will you buy dinner as well?
Would you want some chicken fingers?
Yeah, I
kind of like chicken breasts. But
chicken breasts, all right, we'll do it. I'm down for that.
Seems doable.
With fried chicken breasts, a little mashed potatoes.
Yeah, are you excited for?
I'll go see my man Dave before you get over there.
Blue Ribbon fried chicken opening right by us.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
50th and 9th, something like that.
That's a beautiful thing.
Real beautiful thing. Very excited for that.
50th and 9th got some really good places. Epinatamamas, Pure Thai.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 9th Avenue is known for good fare.
Just blocks away from the humble abode.
I don't want to hear it. See, Corey has this smile on his face currently. I don't want to know what the smile's about.
No. Unless it is some good food on 9th Avenue. So, no, it's nothing.
It's all good.
Yeah, everything is nothing. It's nothing all right. Wrong.
I have to ask this. Speaking of things being wrong,
can I ask a question first?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Sorry. What was up with Ryan Seacrest last night?
I wasn't sure you wanted to get into that, but again,
I'm asking because I don't know what's happening. Like,
accused of sexual assault.
Okay, so a couple months ago, Ryan Seacrest was accused of sexual assault and cleared everywhere. Whatever, no big deal. No, not a big deal, but it was cleared.
It was cleared everywhere.
Cleared everywhere. Fine. So then again, last week, so it popped up 2 weeks ago, it popped up again.
Another yes. Young lady?
A stylist or something?
Something like that, yeah. Stylist, makeup artist, something like that, yeah. And now Kelly Ripa, his co-host on Kelly and Ryan, jumped to his defense.
Yeah.
He totally looked into it, and they said there's nothing here.
Yeah.
Of course, he completely denied it. And they basically said, all right, you've been cleared. We're throwing it, even though this whole Me Too movement, the Time's Up movement, we're throwing him on the red carpet anyway.
Okay.
Because he was,
Ryan Seacrest.
Right. So now, there was an article written somewhere that basically said certain people wouldn't go talk to him on the red carpet last night.
I think everybody kind of avoided him.
Yeah, exactly. They avoided. Now, some people went and talked to him.
Yeah.
Some didn't. And because of that, it was a very awkward red carpet show because I had spent a lot of it with Juliana Rancic, who wasn't actually there at the red carpet. She was across the street at the pool of some sort.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people that wouldn't talk to Ryan Seacrest last night, which made it uncomfortable. That's what's going on with your boy, Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, man, they treat Ryan Seacrest like that. That's not a good look. I mean, he was cleared of all allegations and stuff like that. So now you're just going to leave him out there.
Yeah, it's basically he said, she said type of thing.
You're going to leave him out there. You're going to now you leave him out there to die. You feel him struggling like that. That's whack.
But I think
it's hypocritical because pretty much everything, they all knew what was going on, but nobody said a word. So now it's all these new movements popping up.
Explain what Matt just said.
Matt's right. In that, like, when it comes to a guy like Harvey Weinstein, everybody in Hollywood knew exactly what was going on.
Seth MacFarlane was making jokes years ago about
absolutely.
It. They all knew.
Everybody's making jokes.
Everybody's
about
like,
it.
Well, I kind of heard stories, but we didn't believe.
So. Oh, yeah, now they're like,
Me Too, Time's Up.
Let me tell you something. When the allegations on the Fantasy Executive come out, still rotten because they're not true.
I'm excited to. Never mind. I'm not.
Still right with me, y'all. Don't believe. Don't believe the hype.
I'm not going to go there. There was a good lunch that Corey and I had where we detailed some allegations of what could be constituted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was Corey was very nervous. Okay.
I've changed though.
You have changed for the better.
I have. Now I just
it's
go down.
It's a clean sheet.
I keep pushing. I put on my put on blinders and keep it pushing.
Just do your job.
That's it. Do your job. Just do your job. So today's 1 month anniversary of the New England Patriots losing the Super Bowl.
How about that?
How about that?
Happy anniversary. Okay.
Was it Macaulay Culkin that said the greatest score this year was the Philadelphia Eagles?
That wasn't even the Macaulay Culkin tweet I was thinking of. He tweeted, damn, 4 years in a row and it wasn't included in memoriam. What the hell? But that was very funny.
That
tweet
is funny.
Jerry Lewis got the hammer last night, in case you were wondering.
Jerry, what's the hammer?
Being last in the in memoriam.
Okay.
The last
okay.
image shown. It was Jerry Lewis. In case you guys bet on that.
No, we didn't.
I do not bet.
No, you can bet on that.
Right. You can bet on that.
Sure.
Anytime somebody's at, minus a certain amount, they always win.
Sure.
It's very predictable.
Never bet on the Oscars.
Very,
before.
Very, very predictable.
And from what I heard, I only watched the last hour. Boring.
Yeah, there was nothing that exciting. I watched it. It was whatever.
I tell you what was good. The Rockets and the and the Celtics from Saturday night.
Good game.
That was the best game of the year.
It was a very good game. Very good game. The Western Conference is crazy, by the
way. The best thing that happened to basketball was the Houston Rockets this year.
They're playing
excellent. The fact that they can actually beat the Golden State Warriors.
They might be the favorite in the West.
They probably are right now. They probably are. How many games have they lost with Chris Paul and James Harden?
One.
That's an amazing stat.
That is an amazing stat.
It really is.
Who beat them?
It might have been, wait a minute, who was the team that beat them? It might have been the Celtics.
Really?
It might have been the Celtics.
Okay, very very cool. NBA is wild. When I was away, I like, took a little look at the NBA standings, and I was like, "Where in the F did the Trailblazers come from?" Like, Ballin. We always talk about like the Trailblazers and Dame and whatnot. What?
Dennis Roy.
That is good. Shout out to D.R. on that one.
The Blazers went from like the seventh seed. All of a sudden, they're sitting in the third seed in the Western Conference now. Terry Stotts got to play.
Yeah, the Blazers playing good ball right now, so they're on the come up. When you have a dynamic wing play, dynamic scorer, playmaker like Dame Lillard, it makes it a little bit easier to make that push.
You got
now they're starting
third.
To get healthy.
You got your New Orleans Pelicans without DeMarcus Cousins in fourth.
AD is in the he's in the movie of the year. What's wrong with me? He's in the MVP conversation.
He should be, absolutely. Uh-huh. You have all these. So the Utah Jazz are currently the 10th seed. They're 16 and a half games out, but they are currently 4 games out of the third spot.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's how close the Western Conference is currently.
It's going to be a while. It's going to be a fun month.
I didn't get to see Bucks Sixers last night. That was a game I would have won.
It was good, too.
I was doing the auction.
Yeah.
The Bucks won, I believe, I'm assuming.
They did, yes.
I just know that from tweets I saw.
The Bucks won 118 to 110.
Giannis had an and one and went over to the Sixers bench and was looking to give them daps, and they was looking at him like, stop playing. No.
Yeah. But that would be a fun series.
Yeah, it would
be.
Two
really good
fun and young teams, yeah. Right now, the Milwaukee Bucks are the 7th seed. The Sixers are the 8th seed. So a couple things there.
Well, yeah, things would have to change.
In order for that to happen. Toronto currently the number 1 seed in the Eastern Conference. I thought you changed.
I didn't. It's us in here. I didn't do it out there.
By the way, the Cavs currently 7 games back of the 2 seed.
Yeah,
Eastern Conference.
The Cavs don't care where they're seated. They just be like, let's just rack them up and let's see who's the best.
Currently, the Cavs and Sixers are lined up to play each other. That would be first round.
We mentioned briefly, picture LeBron going to Philadelphia. I think that would be if he stayed on the East Coast.
Well, yeah, the billboard off the whole deal.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't mind it either.
The Knicks lost like a buzzer beater last night. Yeah.
The Knicks. In memoriam.
you know who's balling right now? They didn't play last night, but you know who's balling right now?
Who?
The big baller, Brand.
Yeah.
Lonzo.
He's playing real
he's
good.
He's playing really, really well right now.
Yeah, he's starting to come into his own. Things are slowing down for him a little bit. He's past that injury, so he looks well. I guess the rest of his fam is in. I read an interesting story about this, about them kids in Lithuania.
Right.
Not a good look.
Why don't you tell?
It's like
I saw this article. I didn't click it.
It's like the youngest one, LaMelo is like struggling. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he want to be home. He's a teenage boy. He wants to be home.
Definitely a culture shock.
Yeah,
I would assume that.
So he wants to be home. He really can't wait to get back home.
LeVar knows best.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. More or less, he's kind of like, this is what they want me to do. So this is what I'm going to do. But he wants to do what other teenage boys are doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wants to do it in America.
Exactly. He wants to do it in California where he live at.
Nothing against the good people of Lithuania. I'd rather do it in California. Yeah. As someone that lived there.
Yeah. So there you go. That's LaMelo. That's the Ball family. In the NBA as well.
Well, he's got to be good. I mean, you're going to sell like shirts for $300. You better be good.
$30,000. I want the money up front. SNL. Chuck was on SNL.
I did. Did you watch?
I didn't get to see it. I heard. Heard him and the lady had a hilarious skit. What's that lady name?
Did they? I watched it. I don't know. Oh, the last skit of the night.
The last skit of the night.
Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, with Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, so she does that. That's a very regular last sketch of the night that they do.
Yeah, but they bodied it. That's what I heard.
It was very funny, Kate and Chuck.
I see her walking around New York sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I've seen her before.
She's very talented.
She's very, very talented. She's very famous now, Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, you know, she really is. She shouldn't be walking by herself no more.
She's awesome.
I mean, I'm not going to do nothing to her. I'm just saying.
Is that what you're...
No. But sometimes you see people walking in the streets of New York by themselves. It kind of shocks you. I've seen A-Rod before. I'm like, whoa, what are you doing out here by yourself?
Yeah, A-Rod was also on Saturday Night Live this week.
Oh, I didn't see that.
He was in a sketch with Charles Barkley. It's actually very funny. Yeah. It was Charles Barkley, A-Rod, and Keenan.
Yeah.
And it was the ex-basketball player, the ex-baseball player, and Keenan, but an ex-football player that was too concussed to remember anything. It was really funny.
It was really, really funny.
So that was really good. It was better than I thought about at the time. All right. When we come back, some interesting news on Twitter breaking that the Supreme Court could rule as soon as 10 o'clock on gambling in New Jersey. We'll see what they have to say. If that ruling comes down, we'll talk a little football, more baseball to come as well. FST, FNTSY.
How's it going in there?
5 more minutes.
Okay, let's play a game. 2 truths, 1 lie. We're not going to be late to the party. In the time you've taken to get ready, you could have been on your way to saving a life. And I'm wearing that tie you hate.
We're not going to be late. We're 10 minutes away. You wouldn't dare wear that tie. And I can't save a life. I'm not a firefighter.
Actually, I swabbed my cheeks last week.
It takes less than a minute to get your cheek swabbed. Register at DKMS.org and you can be a superhero by helping someone out.
Check out Fantrax.com, where you can create the ultimate Dynasty Keeper or Redraft Fantasy League using Fantrax pre-commissioner product. Find out how it feels to have the deepest player pool, multi-team trades, plus player salary, and contract options at your fingertips, all of which are fully customizable. And with Fantrax Treasury, you can set league entry fees and safely distribute payouts without a third party, so you don't have to track down the owners for payment. Enter the code AL, that's right, A-L, at sign up for a chance to win 10 private consultations with our guy, the host, the Fantasy Baseball Hour, Al Melky, where it's $109 value when you enter the promo code AL at Fantrax.com. You'll find out why Fantrax is the home of fantasy sports. Fantrax.com right now. All right, we just talked about it during the break. Let's bring the conversation on the air. Now, ESPN published a report, and Adam Silver is kind of outspoken about it, that this one-and-done thing in college, 19 years old, the NBA wants to get involved. The NBA wants to change this rule, and not necessarily go back to as soon as you graduate high school, you can come to the NBA, but work out some sort of training ground for these players, because you're seeing more and more players not go to college, go abroad, make some money, and then jump to the NBA. Terrence Ferguson comes to mind, Brandon Jennings, Emmanuel Mudiay, all these guys played abroad, whether it was in Australia or China, made a hefty sum of money avoiding college and coming to the NBA and becoming a first-round pick. The NBA has said that they want to get involved in these high schoolers' careers is the best term, before they get to the NBA, whether it's an academy, whether it's giving them education, whether it's something, and that could be sending them all to the G League initially, that could be beefing up that, or certain players, if you're ready for the NBA, can go to the NBA, split contracts, something like that. Now, the problem with it as currently constituted is, if you join the G League or something like that, the price that you'll make for these 17, 18-year-old players is 26 grand. You can go to China and make $1 million. So the NBA needs to figure out a way that's better than that.
The G League make more than us.
I understand what you're saying about the split contracts and stuff. If you're like that good, like say the next LeBron James, he's obviously not going to go to the G League. Yeah. He shouldn't have to spend a year in college. I think college can help you in certain aspects, and maybe certain the right coaches can help your career get you, you know. There is a maturity issue. Not everybody's going to be like LeBron James. I mean, not just talent-wise, but, you know, be able to handle the media, the scrutiny, going on the road, you know, being with veterans, you know. Yep. Not all veteran players are stand-up guys.
No.
That goes for every sport.
Some veterans will take your lunch money.
or
throw soup on you.
I just think it's going to have to be something where, with the Players Association, they're going, you know, $25,000 isn't going to cut it. And the argument that they're going to get an endorsement deal, if you're that good, you're going to be in the NBA and you're going to have your endorsement deal. I don't see Nike, you know, giving somebody, you know, $50 million to play in the G League.
Now, of course, college basketball, as corrupt as ever, as we've heard over the last couple of weeks, scandal, I mean, you have shoe companies paying agents and whatnot, and it's all corrupt. The way to fix that really isn't really through the NCAA, it's through this. Because when you're allowing these kids to take money for being really good at basketball, and then setting them up instead of college where you're scared of getting caught and maybe not the best support system, the NBA is creating one, which makes sense on a ground level, right, Corey?
No doubt. I 100% agree with you on that one because, and then if you start seeing some of these big time high school athletes going into the draft and going to the G League, they'll start that the G League will raise their salary, not to $1 million that they're getting in China. But when you see that happen, really, college basketball, I hate to say this, it's kind of becoming a dying thing. Yeah. You know, even though we're going into the NCAA tournament, you know, we saw last week, it was, you know, excitement about the Big Ten tournament being here. You missed it. It was a whole bunch of Maryland Terp fans here.
My excitement lasted very, very short amounts of time.
Yeah, and there you go. Exactly. So, you know.
It's only because my team lost immediately.
I mean, but you got to think, they brought that tournament here for dudes like you.
Well, they brought dudes mm-hmm. like me and dudes like Rutgers, right? It was D.C. last year, New York today, or this last week. We'll see if that happens again.
But the bottom line is, with these players right here, it's got to be something done. The NCAA is too corrupt. These kids deserve to be paid when they have this kind of talent. The G League, split contracts is the way to go. I think the NBA will get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll take a break. When Jake Seeley joins the program, we'll talk some baseball when we return on FST.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two, FST on FNTSY. To my right, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson. To the left, it's Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Is Bavona, how are you, sir?
I'm living, my friend. I am living.
Fantastic.
Shout out to the Bounty Hunter. Great job with the music today. He kind of nailed it with the Pearl Jam out.
Yeah.
Little Tom Petty coming in. Excellent job,
Bavona. Oh, he's doing a fantastic job. Is Jake Seeley there, Chris Bavona?
Should be.
He is indeed. What's going on, Jake?
What's up, Greg? Welcome back.
Oh, it's good to be back, man. I'm very excited to be back here talking with you guys.
Is that seat nice and warm that I left you?
No, not really, to be honest with you.
I tried.
Hey, yeah, man, it's all right. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, sir. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, man. No complaints. That's the complaints. How were the programs while I wasn't here?
Yeah, they were pretty dang good. It is. It's what it is. It's not the same without you, but it's a different take.
Oh, you know what? I already put something in the list on the digital titles sheet that we have to do. I put something down for the day for the OT, and I forgot today is supposed to be the Debratic day on the OT.
It's not going to take the entire show.
Okay, cool. Well,
we could kind of make it, hype it up a bit.
I want to, yeah. So we got to get into the Braddock thing today on the OT. But yeah, we can. Yeah, we'll mix it up. I would want it. I want to get the backstory. Jake, for the YouTube audience, Jake is going to explain the Jason Braddock story.
Will Jason Braddock be on the show as well?
No, Jason Braddock is not going to be on the show.
No, I was just asking.
No.
I would like to see them more like being the two very devout Christians, more like a gladiator type thing.
Oh, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe throw a lion in there somewhere, somehow.
No, I was about to start judging people.
Oh, I don't want no judging, Jake. No judging. No judging.
I stopped myself. I was about to, and I stopped myself.
Okay, very good. But now we had a good week last week. Glad to have you back, Mr. Sussman.
Thank you.
Good to you know get this week rocking and rolling. We got baseball. We got football. You know what I'm saying? So it's fun. One thing, can I say something right quick?
You're going to anyway.
Now, I understand. I don't want people to be a prisoner of the moment when it comes to Saquon Barkley. People saying that this is the best running back prospect ever. Don't forget about Adrian Peterson. Put the tape on Adrian Peterson in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Don't forget about that. I understand it may have been a long time ago and it may not be in your mind right now, but Adrian Peterson was an MFing problem at Oklahoma. Barkley's nice. And I think he's a generational back, But let's slow down before we start saying the best running back prospect ever, because go back and look at Adrian Peterson's tape, and there's not really too many tapes out there like that.
I mean, I'm shocked. I thought you were going to go, which I think you went the right way with Adrian Peterson. I was waiting to hear Ezekiel Elliott.
It's Peterson, Ezekiel Elliott, and Todd Gurley are the best three running backs of the past 25 years.
Saquon Barkley's up there.
Well,
too.
You're saying the best three coming out of college.
Coming out of college.
Yeah, I agree with that. We'll hear more about that coming up next hour, FSTOT, I'm sure. With Jake.
I actually had something different for FSTOT. Stolen bases. The art of stealing bases.
Did not see that coming.
There you go.
Did not see that coming. We'll talk some baseball, including Taiwan Walker.
Oh, God.
We'll be returned.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Work. This was a jam, Greg.
It was indeed.
Yes, this was a jam.
Very much so, yeah.
Did you like this song when it came out, Jake?
It didn't do it for me.
I pictured this to be.
I'm sorry.
Jake, did you like Work when it first came out? Work. No?
Not sure what you're talking about.
This Rihanna song.
He's
playing
Rihanna
in the background.
Oh, I hate Rihanna.
Oh, he's not a Rihanna guy.
I have a soft spot for Rihanna, I will say.
Yes.
Very beautiful.
I saw what you just retweeted, Matt, by the way. That sucks.
Yeah, hopefully at some point it does happen.
Say what it is what you retweeted.
I was setting up Matt for that. Yeah.
The gambling bill that we're talking about, the Supreme Court has not yet ruled on it. Opinions could be expressed the week of the 19th, I'm seeing. The next date is probably April 2nd. That's from David Wayne Purdom. Very good follow on this issue. I'm just hoping that they get it right and we do have legalized sports gambling. It seems like this is the future. This is the next wave. So, you know, unfortunately, nothing happened today. Hopefully, within the next month, the right decision is ruled upon.
All right. So, also today, by the way, the NCAA, CBS and Turner revealed the announcers for the March Madness. You know I'm very into that.
Oh, who they got?
So, basically, Vern Lundquist no longer doing the NCAA tournament. He's retired.
Shout out to Vern. Vern was great football.
Vern was the best. Ian Eagle gets the call into the top four now.
Nice.
Ian Eagle gets into the top four. He literally replaces Vern with Jim Spanarkle on that crew with Ali LaForce as well.
I'm not a Jim Spanarkle guy.
Did you see the Ian Eagle interview with his son?
That was
pretty great.
Unbelievable.
That was pretty
great. Grew up, love it. I mean, still to this day, loves announcers and whatnot. Dream come true right there. That was awesome. Brad Nessler effectively replaces Vern in the cruise. Everything else is kind of similar. No Lewis Johnson this year, it looks like.
Okay.
I figured you were a Lewis Johnson.
I like Lewis Johnson.
Yeah, I thought you did. No Lewis Johnson. He's totally just no longer on the crew, it seems. Lisa Byington gets called up to the number two crew. Big spot for Lisa Byington. I don't know who that is.
Don't know who she is either.
Interesting. Okay, so that's Lisa Byington. Good for her. Let's get into some baseball here. And I mentioned Taiwan Walker, and I want to do this again. Jake, are we about to do this stupid Taiwan Walker thing again?
I don't think it's stupid, honestly. The fact is, Walker has had the ability. The biggest problem with Walker is not to be a stupid pun, walking people, putting people on bases, whip. His whip's been a problem, and the control has been a problem. And then, obviously, when you have that kind of issue, people getting on base, the home runs being exacerbated. But you have the humidor coming in. You have the fact that he's always had the talent. He just kind of was one of those guys that needs to put it together. Granted, there's a lot of pitchers in baseball. There's a lot of pitchers in fantasy that we've always said, hey, they just need to put it together. They just need to get control. Look at Trevor Bauer. But sometimes, just like Trevor Bauer, maybe it takes a few years and maybe it finally starts to click. Trevor Bauer is not going to all of a sudden become elite. He's probably just about as good as he was last year. Maybe just a little bit room to increase a little bit more. He's not going to get into that low one whip range, like I said, becoming a top 20 pitcher all of a sudden. But Taiwan Walker could be the Trevor Bauer of now, especially with the humidor coming.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Jake on the fact that with this humidor, it could he can get a big boom for it. Pretty much all my pitchers in the Diamondbacks rotations wind up seeing somewhere like a 20-point boom in ERA. I'm not going to go all in on Walker. I know some people do like him a lot more, but on the road, he was much better. But the one thing on the road, you look at the xFIP, it wasn't that great. It was above four on the road. But the secondary pitches for him is what really should help him out here. If he gets the balls to break a little more and all that kind of stuff, which at home he was having the issues. On the road, he had the ground ball percent over 50% and the hard hit percent home versus road. And you see this even with Greinke. Greinke had a 40% hard hit at home. He had a 37%. So I can see what there is to like here. And the fact that also that Arizona is improving their defense helps this pitcher out.
Tywon Walker, Corey, has been a fan favorite for quite a long time.
He's one of these prospect dudes everybody be hyped about for 7 years.
Correct. Now, I've always attributed it to because he had a cool name, Tywon Walker.
It is a cool name.
Right? So I thought that had a lot to do with it. But he's just so frustrating.
Walks and home runs.
Exactly.
Walks and home runs. It'll do it to you every time.
So even with the humidor, I'm not doing the Tywon Walker thing in 2018.
He's only 25.
It's ridiculous. He's 45.
But that's the problem. What you said right there is the problem.
Yes, it is.
He seems like he's been around forever.
Correct.
But he's only 25. Won't be 26 till sometime in April. So, I mean, there is talent. I'm not really a big Tywon Walker guy. But I get why people are excited. And like I said, the fact if his breaking ball pitches are working better at home now because of this humidor, if this effect really does come into fruition and everything, he should see a nice boom to his game.
See, I thought
here's the problem, Greg, is I'll agree with you. Like, the fact is I'm not doing it again because of his price right now. I would have done it again if his price was what it was last year to actually have him right around the top 50-55 for pitchers in the conversation with Michael Walker and stuff like that. If you're going to give him to me at that price, I'll jump in 100% because, like Trevor Bauer, the comparison I keep making is, you know, if he goes the Bauer route, then all of a sudden you're getting a top 35-ish pitcher and you're getting nice return value. The problem is, to your point, because of the humidor, because of the fact that he's been a prospect and somebody that's been hyped for years now, people are still taking him in that top 35 range. Like, I'm in drafts right now and he's off the board, and every single one of them and the people that are going off the board right now are Godley, Weaver, Sonny Gray, Jose Berrios, and John Gray, and they're still Cueto, Salazar, Tanaka, Lance Lynn, I know he's not signed, but those names are still on the board, and he's already gone because people are drafting him like at his ceiling.
So now, Jake, this is in what? Fantasy Pros, this ADP you're looking at?
No. So ADP 1, I'm looking at the combined Fantasy Pros, but I was also – the two drafts I was referring to was one is that great baseball invitational by Justin Mason, and then a baseball fan track that I got invited to represent over there as well. But my point was in both those drafts that are going on right now, he's already gone in front of those type of pitchers.
Which is ridiculous.
I agree with Jake on that issue. If you look at the last 2 weeks – and I made it 12-team leagues – and the online championship, because, you know, most people play the 12 team.
Yep.
So I'll skew it to that.
Appreciate it.
He's the 78th pitcher off the board. That includes
closers, terrific,
and all that. And he's going in the range of like a Bundy, Tyon, Duffy, Clevenger, Aaron Sanchez.
I'll take Tywon Walker.
I think that price is more than fair.
I like Aaron Sanchez. But
see, I love that price.
I do want to talk about Aaron Sanchez.
Please, go right in.
Because, look, I like – not that I don't like – his price is very appealing. And I'm in on him at his price. I just want to say, like, going into last season, he was a guy that I really wasn't buying.
Cause me too.
His price was high. Look, he throws 95 miles an hour. He has the extreme ground ball rate. I love all that. But I don't think he's a guy that's got the swing and miss. So until he gets that part of his game, last year's price, I thought he was – way overboard, put it that way. This year, I see it. I'll be involved, you know, around 200. He's not going to be the reason your pitcher staff went south.
I agree. Aaron Sanchez, Jake, at pick around 200 right now in the FBC over the last week. The thing is, Matt's right. The price last year was too inflated after coming off the year he had in 2016. Now, because he was injured all that last year, started like 8 games, it's always at a 200. He's good. I'm in on Aaron Sanchez.
I am, especially for that price as well. The problem is, as Matt said, though, is you have to understand Aaron Sanchez. As you have, he's going to be susceptible to BABIP. He's going to be susceptible to contact. He pitches somebody who tries to get a lot of weak contact. He doesn't strike out over, you know, 9 per 9, one inning, or whatever way you want to look at it. Matt's definitely right about that. He does have the stuff to keep that poor contact, to keep a solid defense behind him, is going to keep everything in check and keep him as a quality pitcher. The problem is, if you start getting unlucky, and I'm saying you always want to draft pitchers and worry about luck, but he is going to be more susceptible to luck than anybody else. If his BABIP stays in the mid-200s like he can do, he's going to be a terrific value and a low 3 ERA and a low whip guy. Yeah. If something happens where maybe people are making better contact this year, maybe some things go wrong, maybe the defense behind him slouches back as some more balls are getting through and a couple more line drives, and his BABIP gets up to 300 without the strikeouts, if his BABIPs are over 300, he's going to be somebody with a 4-plus ERA.
So that's what Jake just said. That's the thing that concerns me with him, is the defense behind him this year. Besides Kevin Pillar, I don't think it's that good.
Yeah, and I think that is reasonable, even though my guy, Yan-Hervis Solarte, is out there.
He's going to be – Solarte's going to get a lot of it back.
You're damn right he is. He's good. He's a good player. Is your boy James Paxton, everybody's boy James Paxton, Corey.
He's not my man.
He's not your man. Are you out on James Paxton?
Yeah, I'm out on James Paxton.
Why?
Because he don't have no humidor in his stadium.
He does not have a humidor in Seattle. That is
no,
a,
it's
that,
no
that
humidor in Seattle.
That is a fact. He's got Starbucks.
Yes, they do have a Starbucks.
The best was like last week when Corey was trying to say humidor and he was calling it something else.
I thought it was like Vicks. When you rub Vicks on your chest, I thought it was the same thing as that. I'm going to say, how does that help? But that's a humidifier.
Right. Yes, the humidifier and the
humidor is two different
things.
Anybody
concerned about James Paxton getting bombed the last two times out in spring? Training?
No, see, like for spring training, I'm not really going to worry about this. There's certain pitchers that I will, guys trying to make a team, and I'll look at walks.
But Paxton, Robbie Ray, doesn't matter to you?
No. They might be
trying new stuff. That's why they're getting bombed like that.
Steven Matz, I'd be more concerned about.
All right. Fair enough. When we come back, there's a couple of guys that are working their way back from injury. I want to know if you're concerned about them yet. We'll talk about it on the other side. It's Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
All right, so pitching performances from guys like James Paxton, Robbie Ray, they don't matter, according to Matt Modica. And that's fine. I'm cool with that. But what about the players that aren't playing right now? Guys that were used to...
Work.
Guys that were used to performing quite well, but battling some injuries right now. I want to know how these guys and what their status are, how that affects your draft status of them. Let me start with my guy here. Let me start with Corey Seager. Corey, I'll ask you first.
Oh, boy.
Now, Corey Seager hasn't played yet. He's battling an injury, and he's DH'd, he's hit, but he hasn't played the field. And Dave Roberts says, listen, there's no timetable for Corey Seager to play the field. He's got this hip injury. It's lingered since all of last year. But we don't know when he'll be back. And there's no DH for the Dodgers when the National League starts at the end of March. What are your thoughts on Corey Seager? Is the hip injury scaring you off a little bit?
Well, obviously, the hip, the elbow, a lot of these injuries that Corey Seager has, they have to scare you a little bit. But I do think that Corey Seager is going to get a chance to hit today. I think they play in American League team. I think he's going to be the designated hitter today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wait-and-see approach with Corey Seager. I do not like to draft injured players when the season starts. So let's see what he can do for this next month and see if he can get up the snub.
I'm concerned.
You are concerned.
Yeah. I put my level of concern around a 7.
That's pretty high.
Yeah. Look, this is a great hitter, great future for this young player. But when he hasn't thrown the ball, he had this elbow injury last season. He's still not throwing now. It's March 5th. I have to be worried about that. And in the if I'm like in a draft champions where I can't add players in the season, I pass on him. I had a chance in the middle of the fourth round, and I really wanted to take him. And I was like, what if this guy starts throwing the ball and he feels pain or something? You know, because right now he's not throwing the ball but beyond a certain distance. And he's a shortstop. So, yeah.
Jake, concern over Corey Seager?
I'd say somewhere in between. This sounds like the two of them. I'm not that concerned until I see actually this week, because supposedly the delay right now was just that he got sick, which is a couple people have been getting sick through spring training, the flu or whatever is going on. So apparently he was supposed to start hitting at the end of last week. That was delayed a few days because he got sick. I agree with Matt, though. That's the concern. It's not so much the hitting as the fact that he can throw, because if he can't play in the field, as you mentioned, there is no DH in the National League, although there should be. So you look at that, that's the problem here, is when he's going to be playing, he needs to be playing in the field. If he's not in the field, he's not going to be playing. So I want to see this week. Obviously, hitting is the first step, but we still have enough time. I think that if he come down to it, though, I'm not moving him down my draft board yet, because even with a week to go in spring training, he knows how to throw the ball. As long as he can throw the ball, it's kind of like what I said with Le'Veon Bell in football. If he can throw the ball, he doesn't need to know how to throw the ball.
Yeah, no, I'll agree on the fact that he knows how to throw the ball. I'm just worried that it's his elbow. And this thing shouldn't be an issue in spring training right now. I did not expect this to be at this point. So that's why I'm concerned. I love the player. I think this is a guy that can hit 300 and hit 30 home runs. And not a lot of guys can do that in today's baseball. But, you know, and you are getting a discount now. I'm just, like I said, I'm just a little scared.
Yeah, I think that I get it. The discount is there, though, with Corey Seager. And Jake's right. Like, he knows how to throw a ball. And if he's hitting, then, all right, then it'll be okay.
Well, no, I don't care. I think he can hit. I think the most important thing is playing the field. I want to see these throws he's got to make. You know, when you're in the hole, that's going to take a lot of pressure on your elbow and your arm.
No doubt. Let me ask about another injured guy then, a guy that you and I have been in on, Matt, this year, and that's Matt Carpenter. We love the value. We said, listen, the value is going to bounce back here.
Except for in labor when we went in the sixth round.
Besides that. But in general, you and I like the value of where he was going. He was like outside the top 12 at first base. He was somebody that we thought the Babbitt would rebound here a little bit, and he'd be good. In OBP leagues, Matt Carpenter's always good. So we liked Matt Carpenter. Yet, he can't get on the field either.
Yeah, that's a concern. And I've kind of backed away, too, because, look, the shoulder injury last year really torpedoed his season, really put a wrench. And look, if he's going to hit all these fly balls, it's kind of Kyle Seager, if he's going to become an extreme fly ball hitter, which both of them kind of were, especially in the second half, if they're going to hit north of 50% in fly balls, the batting average is probably going to be capped, because you're not going to have a high BABIP.
Is Matt Carpenter somebody you'll be in on tomorrow, Corey? $10.
It's tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I better get to work. No, I don't want Matt Carpenter.
Jake, Matt Carpenter?
Yeah, so the funny thing is I started coming around on Matt Carpenter, moving him up my draft board and moving up the projections and getting a little bit more aggressive because everything was fine with his shoulder. But that was before the end of the month, the end of February, the beginning of March, within the last week. And now says his back has been tight and it's flaring up and it's going to take a few days, but he's going to be fine. And quote unquote, he's going to be fine.
Right.
The problem is, at 32, going on 33, when you start having back issues, now I'd rather see the shoulder injury. I'd rather see the shoulder was just sore because he's been working it out a lot. And, you know, obviously he's trying to come back from that injury, so he just needs a day off or whatever, gets a corticosteroid. Like, I'd rather see him just dealing with soreness, not obviously something wrong with his shoulder, but something soreness-wise with the injury he had rather than a new injury, and that being a back. We've seen backs, especially in baseball, have just – killed seasons and killed careers as soon as this starts popping up. Maybe it's just a one-week thing. Maybe he slept on it wrong. Maybe he just tweaked it a little bit while he was stretching. We'll see next week. But if this is like now next week and the week after that, and people are drafting and if the back is still bothering him, I've got to just bail. I'm going to be completely out.
So you brought something up that I wanted to ask you about.
We forgot one thing. Jose Martinez.
He does exist, indeed. Now, I wanted to bring this up to you, Corey, because Jake said, all right, maybe he slept on it wrong. Like, all right, we come to work every day, right?
Every damn day.
Right. And at no point were you like, oh, I slept on my back wrong. I'm not coming to work for 3 days.
No.
Like, no. How is that like a professional?
But you won't understand. I don't think not, the fantasy execs catching grounders.
Yeah, I'm not. What is the reward?
I want to see fantasy execs in the batting cage.
My entire family has like different back issues. Probably I go to the chiropractor once a month. I've had something where like it's been so painful for my lower back, and it's like it's bothered me the entire day sitting here and doing work, and I've had to stand up to do my work and stuff. Like I've done that type of stuff, but it's the same thing as Matt said. I'm not out in the field running around and swinging a baseball bat.
It's
so
totally different.
I think it's a little bit different.
Yeah. I have woke up mornings where my neck has been extremely painful.
Yeah, all the time. And sometimes you sleep with the window open, it's right there.
I do that.
And that
often
air gets into your neck area. Greg.
Yes.
You said something interesting, and it made me think about something.
Right.
Do you when you get this like soreness in your back,
right,
how do you like you stretches, whatever?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
What else is it gonna do?
I don't know. I just was wondering because I like I said, I'm not out there fielding grounders or nothing like that. Most of the injuries that we sustain, we can handle it. You know what I'm saying?
I agree, because we're troopers.
We certainly are.
Speaking of back injuries, Jacob DeGrom is back. Is that causing him to go down your draft board, Jake?
Him being
no. Well, actually, it's funny. I was going to ask Matt and Corey what Dr. A said last week because I got the connection was a problem, so I had to jump off and I missed his answer.
I'll ask Matt if he remembers.
Yeah, probably.
I don't remember. Way to pay attention.
Sorry.
I did, from what I gathered, he was fine. If it would have been any red flag, I would have remembered that. But I did see the interviews he had, and it's pretty much, is he going to be ready to be the opening day pitcher? I mean, it's nice if he's the opening day pitcher. Do I really care? As long as he's getting, you know, one of those, if it's later on that week, if it's the fourth game of the season, that's fine for me. It's all going to be into consideration on how they take like this bullpen session. Do they consider that like one of them? I'm really not concerned. I hope he does fall a little, and I'll scoop him up.
All right. So
yeah. So I saw this tweet yesterday, Greg, and it's a little bit different because the tweet was about Lance Lynn and Alex Cobb and the fact that they haven't signed and that they need to sign next week because there's only 2 weeks left and blah blah blah. If they really want to be, and the tweet was, but I think it compares well to Jacob DeGrom. The tweet that somebody fired back with was, let's remember, Kyle freaking Loesch signed with 1 week to go and was pitching the second day of the season. So to say that Alex Cobb and Lance Lynn and obviously even Jacob DeGrom, if they only have 1 week left to go in spring training, they should probably be fine.
All right, so that's good. That actually makes me feel a lot better when it comes to drafting a Jacob DeGrom then. That's pretty good. All right, so those are the main guys that I had injured right now that I think at least were somewhat concerning to me, and I wanted to know, guys, if it obviously would have been concerning to you. That's kind of the deal with some of the injured
players. I'm surprised
players.
You didn't bring up Daniel Murphy.
Well, Daniel Murphy's a good one, too, because he's had that microfracture surgery on his knee. That wasn't something that he kind of hurt now, so I guess it's not really been in the news. But I think Daniel Murphy's a good example, too. Daniel Murphy's kind of been off my draft board, in all honesty. Maybe that's not fair, but I've wanted nothing to do with Daniel Murphy because when I hear microfracture, Corey, it scares the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah, microfracture's nothing to play with right there. It would scare me, too.
I mean, personally, I drafted him in my first draft. I haven't drafted him since. Last week, I did an NFB Online Championship 12-team league with Vlad Stedler. Daniel Murphy went with the third-to-last pick in the eighth round. That's how far he's fallen.
Uh-huh. Jake?
I would have jumped before that. I know it's definitely a concern, but for what Daniel Murphy brings, I mean, he's a top 25 hitter in fantasy baseball if he's healthy. I know that's a big if. This is a big concern because he's still not on the field yet. But
yeah.
I don't think I was actually going to ask Matt how far would he have to fall for you to jump on. I'm kind of like the end of the fifth, early sixth round. It's too late for me.
Sometime at the end of the sixth, I would consider it. Well, that's 7-8. It depends, though, if I need to get the pitchers, and that's what the situation was here. If he would have fell to us at the last pick, we had the last pick in the eighth round, I would have taken him there.
Sure.
But, you sure. know, when you're building the team, you got to get these pitchers, especially in leagues where you can't trade.
Yeah, I get that. You need the pitching staff, of course. You need to just kind of just throw in guys and hope something sticks, basically. And that's the deal when it comes to pitching here in 2018. It's early fantasy baseball as it's changed.
I'm going to have a crick in my neck with this air blowing on me for 3 hours like that. I just want y'all to know that. Tomorrow I may not be here because I'm going to have a crick in my neck with this gosh darn air blowing on me for 3 hours.
It's not blowing that hard.
It's blowing right on me. Y'all don't feel it because it's blowing right on me.
You're not going to be here on the day of your Tout Wars draft.
Well, what do you think I would do tomorrow morning?
Be here.
Study.
Is that what we're for?
Huh?
Is that not what we're here for?
Yeah, no, y'all help me, but I may need to really get into it tomorrow. I'm going to run down to the control room right quick, too. I'll be right back.
We have a commercial in like 5 seconds, so we'll take a break here. Corey will run down. We'll be back.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls each and every week. The free to enter. So sign up today at fantasyfactor.com. Guys, let's talk about some of the younger players that are making some noise here in spring training. Now, Corey is not super into the prospects, and that's cool. But
I'm not a prospect guy.
I know you're not a prospect guy.
I'm not a prospect guy.
I understand.
Because I like somebody with a track record.
I get it, and it makes sense. But some of these guys are super prospects. We talked about Ronald Acuna earlier in the program. Now we have to bring up Fernando Tatis Jr. Because Fernando Tatis isn't supposed to arrive.
His pops played, right?
Yes, he did. He wasn't supposed to arrive in 2018. Some said he wasn't supposed to arrive in 2019. But in the spring, Jake, all he is doing is hitting. Now, if he continues to do that, will San Diego really send him down? Like, and we won't see him in 2018? Like, San Diego, yes, they signed Eric Hosmer. It's a little bit more exciting. Their pitching staff still is terrible. But Tatis is the future. He's the future now for San Diego.
I don't think so, for mainly just the fact of the controllability. You're just not going to waste at this day and age. And then my question is, where does he play? Who are you bumping out? I'm looking at their lineup right now. You know, Asuaye and Galvis, I mean, they're both accomplished enough that, I mean, Tatis, unless he was Mike Trout, I don't think he's going to be pushing them out just to get that eligibility, or to lose that eligibility, I should say. Padres, I think they know that they're not going to be contending for the top of the division, I mean, especially when you consider the pitching staff as well. I think they need to look long-term and long-term for the future. While hire Cosmer, some people might assume they thought that was a signing to compete now. I think if you look at it, they're one of the few teams that wanted to give him that 7-year contract. The fact is, long-term, you look at this team with Margot and Renfro. Now they have Hosmer. You have Tatis for the future. I think all these pieces are for the future. You don't waste his eligibility just because he's been tearing the cover off the ball.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. 19 years old. He's only got 57 at-bats above Abel. And look, this is a talent that people love. And I don't see him. I don't see why he would start with the Padres, number one. Maybe some point late in the season. Or if the Padres are better than expected, yeah, I could see him being with this team and getting a boost there. But I think, you know, everything's got to go right for the Padres. It's got to be kind of a perfect storm where they need that influx of that player. Otherwise, you know, why start the clock on this kid when you know this season is not the year? And the Padres got some interesting young players in Luis Urias, who's an infielder, Franchi Cordero. Uh-huh. I mean, if Hunter Renfro don't get off to a good start, and don't be surprised if Franchi can make a crack or get at least a shot there.
Well, let me then follow up with another young player who, Jake, you were talking about with Scott on Roto Experts, and that's Scott Kingery, because you brought Scott Kingery to my attention.
I got him everywhere.
Earlier this spring, and I remember my response was, who in the F is Scott Kingery? That is exactly what I said to you on this program, and since then, all Scott Kingery has done is hit. And you brought up, Jake, on Roto Experts, that Cesar Hernandez is not going to lose his job quite yet at second base, but they're trying Kingery everywhere, from second base to shortstop to third to center field. And I get it. Everything's kind of taken, from Odubel in center field to J.P. Crawford at short, Mikel Franco at third, and of course, as I mentioned, Cesar Hernandez at second. There's no spot for Kingery. But on a rebuilding team like Philly, if all this kid is doing is hitting, can he open the year with the big club and make an impact for Philly?
I'm kind of thinking no, mostly because the one position that is the most acceptable is Crawford, and I don't think he can play shortstop. That's the problem. Is he needs to play second base or third base, and the problem is Franco's got to fire up his ass like he should, and he's starting to hit well and starting to be the player that we thought he could break through and be last year. Cesar Hernandez is still productive for what he was, and he was on a better season than he was the year before last year without the injuries. If you look at the numbers, he almost had the identical numbers with 27 less games played. So unless Hernandez bombs, unless Franco just reverts back to how the down parts of last year, I don't see where his playing time is, because they kind of need Crawford at shortstop, because I don't see Kingery at shortstop. Now, maybe the worst case scenario, Crawford does bomb and they move Cesar Hernandez to shortstop, although it's not, again, this is kind of now a Drubal Cabrera type of fit where he can handle it, but it's not a great fit, and we can get Kingery at second, and there's your upside there. But I think the problem is that it's kind of, I don't want to use the cliche square peg round hole, but I don't know where he really fits right now, and that's the problem.
I don't see him starting with the season, starting the season with the team, no matter how good he hits. Could he be brought up sooner than later? Yes. And Franco is a guy that, I mean, I was getting back in December in like the 18th round.
Right.
And I was doing that every time because, you know, I just look back to last year. He's still young. Cesar Hernandez, look, he's a good little player. I'm not a guy that I really ever want on my team. Maybe it's just a bias I have. He's not going to lose his job right away, but Kingery is the guy. This team, if they sign like a Jake Arrieta, there's a lot of talk in Philly about that. I don't think for a long-term deal that's a good move. If they got him for a 1 year or within a 3 year deal, I can maybe see that.
Okay.
But if this team is like, say, the Brewers of last year and arrive a year sooner than later. You know, they got Carlos Santana. This team wants to win. Some people have really big expectations on Rhys Hoskins. So it's going to be interesting here. If Nola is the ace that many of us believe he can be, this team can move faster. The Marlins are just atrocious. The Mets aren't good. The Braves are trying to be that team that's building for the future, trying to, you know, get better every year. So there is opportunity for this team here. If Kingery continues to, say he goes down and continues to hit, they will find a spot for him.
All right. Scott Kingery, a prospect, so I assume you're out on him.
Yeah.
Okay.
This thing is blowing right on me. I'm gonna have a head cold tomorrow.
Okay.
Nobody cares about this.
Doesn't
apparently.
Seem that way. No, I mean, you know.
Nobody cares really. About.
I'm feeling good. Let me ask you about another Philadelphia Philly, Jake. It's Jared Eichhoff. A couple of years ago, he was an exciting thing. Vinny Velasquez was an exciting thing. Nobody's talking about Jared Eichhoff or Vince Velasquez anymore. Should we be?
You should be talking about Vince Velasquez, because his thing is just injuries. Although, you know, somebody else who puts a few – his whip isn't great, puts a few too many on base. I'm more excited for him, because if he stays healthy, that strikeout appeal, he offset that easily, and he could be a top 30, 35 pitcher. It's just his ability to stay healthy. Eichhoff, I've been on in the past, and I've been excited about Eichhoff, mostly because of the strikeout minus walk percentage. Saab is, you know, Nando named it. The fact is, he's kind of always been in that range. It's like, oh, okay, he can get better. The numbers tell me he can get better, and he just hasn't, and he hasn't, and he hasn't, and he hasn't. And I'll take him at the back end of my team. You know, that's my sixth pitcher for, like, one of the first two on my bench, but he's not somebody I'm super excited about. I'm more excited as Velasquez, given a similar price. He has the higher ceiling easily.
Yeah, for me with Velasquez, I think he's a dominant relief pitcher. That's his road to success in MLB. Eichhoff is a guy, like Jake says, I like them too. It's kind of like Gezellman last year. I got on Gezellman late, which was a terrible move because Gezellman was just god-awful.
Right.
And Eichhoff disappointed as well last year. So, you know, it's going to be interesting how the Phillies' rotation after, say, Nola fills out and who's able to step up. I'm taking late flyers on Nick Pivetta. There's some encouraging things about him. But that's the thing. They need, like, a Jake Arrieta type for this year. Or, say, like a Lance Lynn. Guys that I really don't love, but they need a veteran presence that can come in there and give him some innings.
Potentially better real-life player than a fantasy player.
Yes,
is what the Philadelphia Phillies need. Let me stay in the NL East with another young pitcher that I was in on last year. I had him last year at times. He had a really good stretch early in the year. Kind of fell off the map. But people are buying back in this year. He's not costing you anything. But I like Mike Foltynewicz, Jake. What about you?
I don't. Where are the strikeouts? Where's the low whip? He doesn't really do either for base. I don't see where does he help your fantasy team? That's my question.
Yeah, I think he's another guy. I think he's going to be where he can excel is in that relief role. He's going to look good at times as a starter. I just don't think that's going to be his future. There are times you watch him there, and they got some good young arms. More like a Luis Gajara is somebody I'd look to.
Let me go to you, Corey. Another young name. He's not young anymore, but a name that people really, really were in on last year early on. He was fantastic early in the season and then fell off the second half was Ivan Nova. Second year with Ray Searidge in Pittsburgh. Are you buying back in on Ivan Nova?
Yeah, I'll go back to Ivan Nova. You really don't got to pay the price. I like the talent. I think, you know, you get him out there with Searidge, you know the kind of work he does. Didn't really pay off last season, but I think I'll go back in because the price is going to be worthy of a slot later on.
Jake?
I'm actually not as high as most people are on him. The fact is, he had the year under Searidge. Mm-hmm. The fact is, I'm looking right now for my projections. I still have him as a 4.3 ERA and a 1.3 whip. The whip is just, I don't see where it's coming down. I know that he's with Searidge and he works magic, but he's not 100%. It's not like every single pitcher that Searidge touches comes out and is amazing. So, you know, I've been fooled by Nova a few years ago, and I just kept seeing the promise there. He's actually similar to, you know, maybe the Eichhoff thing. It's like, when are we going to stop and just realize maybe this is just all he is?
Yeah, two words. Joe Musgrove. Give me Musgrove of Nova. You know, I know the BFFs like that.
Always.
Yeah, I mean, he's not somebody I'm really looking for.
Shout out to Joe Musgrove.
Shout out to Joe Musgrove, indeed. And you know, boo to the Pirates that didn't want to have us interview Joe Musgrove. All we're trying to do is promote
this. They gave you
the
cold shoulder.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable as that was.
I say we go to Pittsburgh and get some Parmanti brothers and then
have a
sit down.
Only if we can interview with Joe Musgrove. A sit down is
you can go to Citi Field and do Roto Experts, do BFFs at the park with Joe Musgrove.
Does Scott have to come?
No, he doesn't have to go.
Right.
If he finds out you're there, he's going to be there. He's going to come out there because he think he's the king of the clubhouse.
Well, he's the king.
He's just the king, in the clubhouse.
Yeah, he's just the king, indeed. Now, one last player I do want to ask you about here. But
we don't have enough time.
We wrap up. Oh, we do. Don't worry. I have a minute.
Oh, it's only quit. It's going to be quit?
Yeah, I mean, come on, right. I'm a professional.
Shut up.
Is Ivan Nova's teammate, someone that you were kind of high on here, Matt, that was Josh Bell. Josh Bell, first base, talking about Carpenter early on in the program. Nova's teammate, Josh Bell, are you in here in 2018?
I'm in here as like a late, if I waited on corner. He goes, to me, his price this year is too high, to be honest with you. I'd rather wait and get some other guys, some other names. I'm not going to pay the price for him. I don't hate him, but I hate his price.
Jake?
I actually don't mind him. I'd rather pay his price than I would Matt Olson's price, and put it that way.
You know what? I'll take the shot on Matt Olson.
Okay. Fair enough. Corey, that's how you do a player in 45 seconds.
I love it.
You're very welcome. All right. We'll take a break. We'll talk some football as we wrap up the first 2 hours, 1 hour to go, FST. We'll stick around.
Fantasy Sports Today.
I would bank on Swanson dude having a bounce back year more than I would bank on Albies.
I don't agree because the reason I like Albies.
Well, I didn't ask for your opinion.
I'm giving my opinion anyway. I don't really care.
He's been back here for an hour telling me you disagree.
That's right. You're damn right. See, Ozzy Albies, what I like, and I thought you would like about him too, Corey, he doesn't really strike out. And for a young player,
I do like that.
To not really strike out is very, very interesting. He's just 21 years old, and in the minors, he really showed no profile of striking out.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
One week from today, catch the DKMS 2018 March Madness special, 4 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Your host, Craig Carton, get the edge on filling out your bracket with analysis from Mike Blewett, Brad Evans, and me, Greg Sussman. If you're looking to make some money, Gabe Morency, Blackjack Fletcher will line your pockets. Broadcast will be simulcast on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube live page. It's a DKMS 2018 March Madness special on Monday, March 12th, 4 p.m. Eastern, here live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Looking forward to that program. I think you got a great crew right there. So NCAA tournament time coming up, so everybody get ready for that.
Everybody get ready, indeed. Couple of football notes before we wrap up and send you into FST.
Shout out to the Tar Heels.
FST OT, they lost this weekend, blew a monster lead.
Yeah, and they lost to Duke. Well, it happens.
Deserve to lose that game.
Can't win them all.
Yeah, let's move on. They deserve to lose that.
I like how you're just like, oh, shout out to the Tar Heels, and they're going to talk about how they lost.
Well, I'm still going to give them a shout out, even though they lost. They still reigning champions.
They're losers.
Yeah, all right. When Maryland lost in the first round of the Big Ten tournament to Duquesne.
Wisconsin, but that's fine.
That was pretty English.
You got personal. You got personal.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go personal on you.
At least
you
didn't tell me. At least I'm not tan.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever that means. When it comes to the NFL, I read a story, Jay, just a moment ago in the MMQB. Josh Allen went to a meeting with the Dolphins and said, "Please, it's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Elway. I assume Josh Allen will not be drafted by the Dolphins."
There's this decision making for you. That's proof. It's just not on the football field. It's everywhere. Josh Allen.
Allen. Future quarterback of the New York Giants.
I said this to Scott this morning because we were talking about the combine. You use the combine metrics to back up what you know. The fact that people are moving and back up the draft board after what happened in the combine is ignorant.
You don't need a Wonderlic test.
You don't need a Wonderlic test for that. No, you don't indeed. You've heard a lot of rumors about the Dolphins potentially drafting a quarterback to replace Ryan Tannehill. But the question is, Corey, what are they going to do with Jarvis Landry? You heard a rumor over the weekend after the Robert Quinn trade that they're trying to trade him now. And the potential options include Cleveland, obviously, Chicago, San Francisco. Now, Chicago, the rumor was, they might trade Jordan Howard straight up for Jarvis Landry. What do you think of that deal?
Yeah, I don't think that's a good deal for the Bears right there. I think when you pay that kind of money for a slot receiver, that's a win-now move.
Sure.
You feel what I'm saying? The Bears not in win-now mode. They don't need a $16 million slot receiver.
I don't think the Dolphins.
You said you don't agree with that?
No, I agree.
Oh, okay.
Howard doesn't cost you all that much right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like that. I agree. What are you saying, Matt?
No, I don't think the Dolphins need a running back right now.
Kenyon Drake. He's the man.
Yeah,
we like
Kenyon Drake as fantasy owners, but you never know. The Dolphins, they need to blow it up, and they really do. The Dolphins, though, I don't like the way that organization is unfolding right now.
Yeah, I don't like it.
They talking about Teddy Bridgewater too. The Dolphins.
So are the Jets. I've read as they look to Plan B if they assume Kirk Cousins is going to Minnesota, Denver, or Arizona. The Jets could be interested in a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, Jake.
Yeah, and they need a Plan B. If so, I don't see how anybody is bringing him in to be their starter without a Plan B. This is Teddy Bridgewater, and what? Like, I talked about it on Twitter when people were asking me if the Giants pass on a quarterback because they know I'm a Giants fan, what would I want him to do? And I said, I actually think Teddy Bridgewater under Shurmur would be a terrific backup plan to sign, and then you see if him or, you know, Davis Webb works out while they hold on to Eli Manning for two more years. I don't see why you bring in Bridgewater and you don't have a backup plan, though.
Yeah, I like what Jake said about him being the backup there, or if you do take Bridgewater, you bring him in, there's got to be somebody to. There's got to be a competition at that spot. Because you just can't trust it right now. You haven't seen anything from the guy. He hadn't been healthy. He's made the road back, but I'm not starting my season. Putting everything in on this kid.
I agree. Teddy Bridgewater actually with New York in that backup role.
I wasn't that impressed when he was healthy.
I agree. That kind of makes sense. All right. 2 hours down. One more to go. FST OT is on the way next.
I do got to go see Mike.
I have to go see Mike. I'll let you know if I'm here tomorrow.
Just walk by the studio and give me a thumbs up.
For Corey Forrest, good luck. With Deacon Jake Seeley. I'm going to go see Mike. Corey will sit here. Matt will sit there. Jake will be on there. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah.